Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2.
Let us stand, if you would, please. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. And we'll read through chapter 3 and verse 3. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome the latter, The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. Protect us from the corruption and the pollution of the world. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that we are your servants, and may we be found faithfully serving you when you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Peter warns and exhorts the believers of his day and ours to be on guard. In his first epistle, he writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." Here in the second epistle, Peter continues his assault of commonplace sins such as vanity, wantonness, corruption, apostasy, and the scoffers. We find in our society, and unfortunately in many churches, false freedom is proclaimed. And may we understand that having a lot of money will not make us free. A lack of responsibility or accountability does not make one free. Those that say they want freedom from religion will not make them free. Many offer their freedom to their followers with bait that entices them with half-truths and outright lies. There are many teachers who promise liberty, but these promises are never fulfilled, and the unstable converts only find themselves in terrible bondage. Folks, we live in a society where many are in bondage. The freedom offered is a false freedom, and Peter gives three reasons that explain why it is false. Number one, false freedom is based on false promises. As we read in verses 17 and 18 of wells without water that are carried with a tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. False promises. Faith is only as good as the object. Faith is only as good as the object in which you have placed your faith. A pagan may have great faith in his idol, and many of them do. But the idol can do nothing for him. Or the cow walking through their front room. Or the sun or the moon or the eagle that's flying in flight. They can be worshipped, but they can provide nothing for the one that has faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that faith will accomplish something because God always keeps his promise. Now, many people put their faith in religion, the idols, the false teachings, but religion, you remember, is a way of man reaching up to God. God reached down to man by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He gave us a way of salvation, and he expects us to follow his way. Peter uses three valid illustrations to emphasize the emptiness of the apostate's promise. Wells without water. May I say this? A well or a spring without water is useless. One will never have true freedom until they surrender themselves to the Lord of the universe. We can have faith in so many things, but only the faith that we have in Jesus Christ will bring freedom. He will direct our lives. And wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest. May I say this, during a time of drought, one wants clouds that will bring rain. A letter from our Brazilian missionaries, Bill and Sharon Smith, have returned home after their furlough. And they have returned home to find out it has not rained in that city for 4 months. Now, can you imagine it not raining here and for 4 months? Would you want, when you saw clouds coming, that it would bring rain? And yet, for the apostate, they give you the clouds, but they don't give you what is necessary. Jude penned it this way, clouds they are without water carried about of wind. These false teachers are just a bunch of wind, seeking, well, in many cases, your money. We must be careful. The mist of darkness was the third one Peter used. The blackness of the darkness of false teachings. The devil blinds the minds of them which believe not. We live in a world that is spiritually blind. But may I say this, all the darkness in the universe cannot put out the light. All the darkness that is about cannot put out your light if you are shining for Christ. And number two, we have the false freedom that is offered in counterfeit Christians. Counterfeit. They call themselves believers, but they're truly not. I read a while back of a police officer's uniform being worn by a criminal, and that he stole from some people. And the reason he was able to get close is because of the uniform. And later, when they apprehended the criminal, they found the uniform, and he had used it on a number of occasions. Counterfeit. Peter tells us that those that promise liberty, while they themselves are servants of corruption in bondage to sin, are the blind leading the blind. Verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled therein. I was pondering this about tangles. People who have longer hair, I understand your hair can get entangles, correct? And that can be very painful, I understand. How many of you have ever gotten an extension cord? How many of you have ever gotten an extension cord that someone else put away, but they didn't put it up right? And it's all tangled. Isn't that a pain? And how about Christmas lights? Now that's really a pain, isn't it? My wife has done some volunteer work over here at Meadowbrook Hall for the Christmas season, and she had to untangle the Christmas lights after they had been put away from last year. And your first thought is, I wish those people were here untangling these. Well, you know, we find that it's sometimes hard to untangle certain things. Evolution tangles people. Evolution will make us believe things that are false. We find immorality creeps in and it entangles people. Someone was saying the other day, they were saying, well, why don't you preach more against homosexuality? And I say, listen, I'll preach against immorality. Because those that are heterosexuals that are immoral are just as bad as those that are homosexuals. Immorality is immorality is immorality. And God hates immorality. He wants us to live pure lives. How about those that are entangled in drugs? We hear an awful lot about the prescription drugs in which people are addicted to today. And the desire is to make doctors or have doctors prescribe less of these pain medicines. Instead of giving out 50 at a prescription, to give out 5 to 10. Trying to cut back on people who are addicted, who are entangled in this. How about the world of gambling? Well, we find that we live in a world that thinks that gambling is okay, and they become entangled in it. I remember I had taken Donna to 7-Eleven so that she could get a coffee. Now notice I said I took her to 7-Eleven so that she could get a coffee. I'm not old enough to drink coffee yet. And while I'm waiting in the car, a person came out of the 7-Eleven and there was this look of joy on his face and he had a bunch of lottery tickets. And he was not even to his vehicle and he was already scraping them off. And I don't know how much he had spent, but whatever he spent, it was gone because he took the cards and bent them and thrust them into his pocket. There was the hope, become entangled in the promise that you might win something. We find those who are entangled in pornography. It is creating all types of chaos in our families today. Woman called me the other, when I say the other day, you do realize it could be, the other day could be 10 days ago, or 10 months ago, or 10 years ago. You understand that, right? Because I don't want you to try to figure out who I'm talking about. And don't tell me you don't try to figure it out. Because when my dad used to be up here and he would give an illustration, I was trying to figure out who he was talking about. And so a while back, a woman called, and I said, Covenant Baptist Church, good afternoon. And she, the first thing she said is, do you counsel men that are having issues with pornography? And I said to her, I said, why isn't he making the call? I said, you can make all the calls you want. It's not till he wants to be untangled that he will become untangled. See, we live in a world that throws it out there and says, it's all right. But then you see the damage that is creating in our society. How about churches that proclaim false teachings? You know how you know if someone is right? You read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Read the book of John. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of John. Read the book of Romans. And then start doing the other epistles. Read the scriptures. Because the scriptures are able to bring salvation to you. Pollution, found there in verse 20, is defilement of the outside. Corruption, there in verse 19, is decay on the inside. If you would, please keep your Bibles here and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Corruption on the inside, eating away at you spiritually, taking you down. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And then number seven, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, corruption from within. And Peter is trying to tell the people, be careful of the apostates, these false teachers. They are as natural brute beasts. They are as dogs and they are as pigs. Be careful of who they are. Peter wrote of no one. Noah kept himself separated from the world. He wrote of Lot, who lived with one foot in the world while trying to keep himself separated. He talked of Balaam, who followed the ways of the world and also encouraged others to sin. There in the Great Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews 11, we find written about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. May I say this, and as Paul was reading about Nabad the day, who was the one that was in the end wrong? Nadab, who died, or King Ahab and Jezebel? Well, one died having done right, the other would die being wrong. And we need to live right lives. Temporary reformation without true repentance and rebirth only leads to greater sin and judgment. The so-called turning over a new leaf is not enough. I gave this in a previous service, and when I have a good joke, I want to tell it again. Okay? Now, laugh at the right time. Okay? You know, New Year's resolutions are coming. And I know many people have resolved never to make a new resolution. But this person said that they were going to lose 10 pounds. And they only had 15 pounds to go. Thank you for that attempt at laughter. But you know, the fact of the matter is that turning over a leaf or saying I'm going to change that only lasts a week or two doesn't accomplish much. What we need to realize that true freedom comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. False freedom involves false experience. As we read in verses 21 and 22, there are those who proclaim the feel-good teachings of today. Come in as you are and leave as you were. No, you need to come in with the idea of hoping that the Lord will touch us so that we can be better. Those that proclaim the name it, claim it teachings. Those that tickle the ears for their listeners with false security. We find that there are many who are easily deceived because they would rather believe a lie than the truth. But then we find in chapter 3, our fourth thought is false freedom from scoffers. A scoffer is someone who treats lightly that which ought to be taken seriously. Let me ask you this. What is the number one decision you have to make in your life? Number one decision. Salvation. To know that there is a way of salvation. Well, why do I need to be saved, you'd say? Well, because we're lost in sin. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thus, we all need salvation because there is a separation from God. What caused the separation? Our sin. Is there anything we can do to remove the penalty of sin from ourselves? Well, we can trust Jesus, but many try good works, or they'll try some religious teaching, but there's only one way that salvation comes, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. That He is the one that was sent at the Christmas season so that we could have salvation. He did not come so that we can give gifts. Now, I like giving gifts. I like to receive gifts. And it's nice that the wise men brought gifts. And I'm sure that Sears and Macy's like the fact that the wise men brought gifts. But gifts are just the icing on the cake. Jesus Christ came for one reason. To die. He came to die. That was His purpose. And our salvation is through and only through Jesus Christ. Anyone that teaches you otherwise is teaching you a false doctrine that is not found in the Scriptures. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Gifts. We find that there are scoffers, though, that scoff at the idea that you need a Lord, that you need a Savior. The people of Noah's day scoffed at the idea of a worldwide flood. They didn't scoff once the rains came. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah scoffed at the idea of fire and brimstone destroying their city. But it was. Why do people scoff? Because they want to continue living in their own sins. They don't want to repent. They do not want to change. But may I say this, thank God for a loving Lord. Amen. Verse 9 of chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Now, we have skipped some verses here that we'll cover in the weeks to come, but I didn't want to end it with the scoffers. I wanted to end it on a positive note, our sermon this morning. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Never think God breaks a promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering. I tell you what, I'm glad the Lord gives us second and third and fifth and 25th chances. Most people are never accept the Lord as their Savior the first time they hear the gospel message. Most people have to hear it many times. Before you can get someone saved, you have to get them lost. You have to make them realize that they are lost and doomed and damned on their way to hell before they realize I need a Savior. And the Lord is long-suffering. One has well said, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? Well, simply put, some people are fortunate to hear the gospel message again and again and again. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. What does that mean, perish? That they would die and go to hell. Now, a lot of churches have stopped preaching hell, but that doesn't remove the fact that there is a hell, that there is a place created for the devil and his angels, and then because of the fall of Adam, has now sent humans to hell. Not willing that any should go to hell. Christ's desire is that all will accept Him as Lord and Savior. And it says here that all should come to repentance. Now some of you may have noticed that there were some children up here in the front that were here until they went out for the junior church. And some of you may have realized that there were really two really brilliant kids over here. You may have noticed that there were two that really stood out. Right, Donna? Of course. Now you say, Pastor Paul, what do you mean? What, there were two of our grandkids here. Numbers 5 and 6 of 8. May I say this? Did those two need to repent? They're sinners. As nice as they are. And if you'd have seen the card that Samantha made for Donna and me yesterday, you'd have said, oh, she's so sweet. Well, of course she's sweet. Look who she has as a... Come on, folks. But we don't want them to perish. And praise God, both of them accepted Christ as their Savior. Amen. And I was able to baptize both of them at a different church, but we were glad to be able to baptize them. That baptism didn't save them. And as I was getting ready to baptize them, the people there that were witnessing the baptism, I said, this baptism will not save them. It is a picture of the death of the old person and the resurrection of the new. Picture of Jesus Christ dying and rising again. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I hope that everyone in this room has at some point in time accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they have taken that opportunity given them to come to know the Lord and the Christ of Christmas. Because if we remove Christ from Christmas, we have absolutely no reason to celebrate the day. Amen. Shall we stand together? A song of invitation will be sung. You can come to the altar and pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. 394, I surrender all. The willingness to surrender to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that this time of invitation will be given in such a way that the Spirit would move and hearts would be touched. Lord, we pray for that soul that is nearest hell today, that needs to come to accept Thee as Savior. Lord, be with them. Prick their hearts. For that one, Lord, that maybe has drifted back and become entangled in the pollutions of the world, Lord, we pray that they could become untangled and return to You. Lord, we just pray now Your hand on this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.